When I entered Copley Hill, it was in the autumn, no, about mid-year 1952. I was taken there from Wales by car, and eventually it pulled up outside Copley Hill, and the warden came out and greeted me and said, "Welcome to Copley Hill, and I hope you'll enjoy your stay. Come into the office." So we went into the office, and he gave me a rundown of the daily routine. Reveille, or get up time, was about 6 o'clock. He said, "Get up, get yourself washed, get dressed, and go down to breakfast. Breakfast will be served between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock. This is to enable you to pick up your packages for work, your lunchbox, or a voucher that you can have a cook meal at the British restaurant." I said, "Oh, thanks." He said, "About 8 o'clock, depending on your start time, you'll leave for work. Tea, or dinner, as some people call it, will be between 5 and 7 tonight, or each night. If you're going to be detained at work, please give us a ring and we'll save you a dinner. From 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock, it's your break, your leisure break. You can do what you like." He said, "If you want to go to the pictures, then go." He said, "Otherwise, relax inside the hostel. Lights out aren't until 11 o'clock. And by then, we expect all the recreation rooms to be clear and you in bed." I said, "Fair enough." And I realised then that what he was saying was that all times were variable according to the work patterns. By law, no one was allowed to work late nights or a night shift if they were under 18 years of age. Remember, in those days, people under the age of 21 had no rights. I settled into the home quite rapidly. First of all, of course, A.J. Thomas, the warden, the warden took me in his car up to the city centre, where I was taken before the Birmingham Corporation Children's Committee. There they asked me why I hadn't settled into employment in Wales, and when I gave them my answers, they seemed satisfied. However, they did point out that employment was a condition of my stay in Copley Hill. If I didn't get a job, or if I got a job and through misbehaving I lost it, I would be placed in Shawbury Approved School for a term yet to be determined. Did I understand? I said yes. Mr. Thomas then took me down to the employment exchange and, with the guidance of the supervisor there, arranged for me to have an interview. I had an interview with a plumber's merchant who engaged me as a yard boy. Being a yard boy was a boring job. It consisted mainly of unloading bricks off of great big lorries, and they threw the bricks one to another, and I was expected to catch them and stack them up in the storage space allocated. I found that the corners of the bricks kept jabbing into my hands, and before I'd been there a couple of weeks, my hands were as rough as all holy hell. It was terrible. So eventually I had a word with him and we agreed that I should leave. I then got a job with Astons of Alton, initially working in a shop, but because of the intakes into the armed forces through national service, I was soon offered a job working with the bricklayer as a bricklayer's apprentice, as a bricklayer's improver. This was a posh word for bricky's mate. In other words, he laid the bricks and I did the labouring. We worked together for about 18 months, and in that time we had a good working relationship. I was quite happy working at Orton's. The youth in Copley were allowed maximum freedom. Leisure periods were self-controlled. There was a full-size snooker table in the place, located in the recreation room, and also a full-size table tennis table. Evening classes in New Sutton Road were used by the lads to better their education. I was enrolled in the art classes, but as the teacher explained that because of my age, which at that time was 15 and a half, I would not be admitted to the life classes because a nude model would be used, and this was contrary to the Education Board's policies. I was not interested in modern art, so I quit. Many of the lads had bicycles, and one chap had a beaut. It had all the latest gadgets, like electric dynamo lighting, saddlebags over the rear wheels, dropped handlebars, and it was a work of art. Eventually he appeared in court, where he pleaded guilty to stealing 16 bikes and 2 muskets. He would see a bike left unattended, steal the bike, remove the part he wanted, and then dump the remains in the canal. He worked at Webley and Scott, the gunsmiths in Steelhouse Lane, and had stolen 1875 muskets simply because he wanted the flints out of the firing mechanism. He got 9 months in Shawbury. I never saw him again. By the time he got out, I had entered the army. Every couple of months we had a dance, if you can call it a dance. We set up a record player and played records in the recce room. The table tennis table was dismantled and the snooker table was covered and used for the buffet. French chalk was put down on the polished floor to aid our dancing. I don't remember much of the dancing myself, but my girlfriend came and always enjoyed it. My dancing was just holding my partner, hold her close, and then shuffle round the room. I do not remember anything about Christmas. I know by the calendar I was there for one Christmas, but what we did I can't remember. Life there at that time is a wee blank. Life in Copley was much the same as in any ordinary house. We worked, we ate, and we slept. What did we do with our wages? On payday, we collected our pay packets, and when we got back to Copley, we queued up outside the warden's office until he could see us. When my turn came, I entered the office and handed the pay packet, unopened, to the warden. He opened it, checked the cash against the payslip, then he gave me 5 shillings pocket money. He then took my week's tram fare required for getting to work. He then took a percentage of the remainder to cover my board and lodgings, and whatever remained was put into the Birmingham Trustee Savings Bank in an account which he had opened in my name. Birmingham Children's Committee paid for my keep, but considered a small percentage of my spare cash should go towards my keep. This was to prove to me that you never got anything for nothing. The scale of pocket money was the same for all children in care. For the over 15s, the ones working that is, the scale was as follows, regardless of the rate of pay you earned. 15 to 16, you got 5 bob, 5 shillings, or 25p in today's money. 16 to 17, you got 6 shillings. 17 to 18,